Good morning. It's time for Daily Chap. The text is John chapter 15, verse 26 through chapter 16, verse 4. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel of St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you... I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. But they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Persecution is a gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not the cause of it, of course. The devil is. But the Spirit allows it to be given to us for our good. We don't often think of it that way. We rather shrink from it. The flesh doesn't like to suffer. It doesn't want to have pain. It will run away from it at every chance. After Jesus rose from the dead, after he fed the disciples on the beach with breakfast, they counted those 153 fish, Jesus took Peter aside and he told him that Peter would soon stretch out his hands, that another would gird him and carry him where he did not wish to go. Later in Rome, confronted by his impending death, Peter turned around and started leaving. He was scandalized by the prospect of his suffering. His senses recoiled with dread, and he turned away from it. Soon, though, after a little encouragement, he returned to the city for his martyrdom and the death by which he would glorify God. We hear today, before he ascended, Jesus prophesying about the coming persecution of his church. First the apostles, and then all the Christians in general, would be driven from fellowship with their fellow citizens. They would be cast out of the synagogues in which they worshiped. They would even suffer death at the hands of those whom they trusted and loved. It must have been a difficult thing for the apostles to hear that night, as much as they understood anything that night. But Jesus prophesied this so that they and we would not be surprised by it when it came, that we would not be scandalized, that would be fall away because of it, that our resolve would not turn and fail, but instead we would be strengthened and trained through these coming difficulties. Our difficulties as Christians should not come as a surprise, but they often do surprise us. We wonder why people don't like us. Atheists and others mock Christian prayers when disasters and terror strike. You heard it again last week. Oh, take your prayers and go away. They don't do anything. Those people think they're doing a service to the world. That will shut those Christians up finally. And that mocking can have an effect of scandalizing us, that is, silencing our voice. We do find ourselves keeping our heads down, not speaking up when sin is proudly flaunted, or nodding our heads along in tacit agreement so we don't draw attention to ourselves or make waves. Our flesh shrinks from the looks that are sent our way, from the pointed comment, from the threat of separation from friend or family or community. We're weak. We're sinners. And it shows up in everything we do. But be encouraged, though, dear Christians, by the way our brethren in the past, who were afraid also, plucked up their courage and confessed Christ and his cross with boldness and with joy. I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. It's easy to forget in these days after the ascension that Jesus does sit at the right hand of the Father, ruling all things for our good, because we live by what we see. And we think we're alone. But remember, we live by faith and not by sight. Jesus said these things so that we would remember, we who forget so easily. He has told us of the warfare to come against us, that we would be harassed and continually tried. It has not come to the point of shedding blood, not to us. But it still can be difficult. It can be wearing. A long grind can be much more difficult than a short, sharp trial. You see, our enemy, the devil, is anti-human. He hates us. And those who are under his sway mimic him by their words and their actions. And we should not be surprised. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Remember, Jesus shared in our flesh and blood so that he might destroy him who had the power of death and release us from its fear. He is a merciful and faithful high priest, and with his suffering, he is able to help us who suffer. Look to Jesus and his cross. He called that shameful thing his glory. How much more should we think his way? If we can despise suffering, we can certainly despise the taunts of those who hate us, and to endure more and difficult persecution when it does come. The opinions of neighbor and family are simply unpleasant, but they are nothing compared to the riches of Jesus. When we endure something unpleasant, we don't really think of the toils involved in it, but we think of the crowns that come after it. As Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Lift up your cross. Deny yourself. And as Jesus said to Peter, when he told Peter of what was coming to him, so he says to you, "Follow me." And in those words, "follow me," are life. For where Jesus goes, there is always life and nothing else. And even if that narrow path leads you into dirty looks or whispers or scorn, persecution, exile, perhaps even death, we are confident that there is life in all of that because there is Jesus. We remember our baptism and the gifts he gives to us. We remember his many promises. And so we can say that persecution is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's how the Spirit puts the implanted word into action on us. It's how he trains us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us. It's how he puts our hands together and bows our heads to pray for those who do persecute us. It's how we are disciplined to gentleness and long-suffering, led into patience and self-control, and to know Christ's peace and joy in every instant. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake," Jesus said. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What then can daunt my spirit, however dark my road? Jesus has ascended in triumph far above all the heavens. He has led captivity captive. He has not left us without consolation, but has given us his Spirit with all his gifts. Jesus is our health while we are living, our life when we shall die. And so, brethren, stand. Stand in this fight. Encourage your brothers and sisters around you. Retreating to a monastery may look appealing, but it isn't the answer. Withdrawing from the world may seem good, but it's not. The Lord has put you where He knows what is best for you. And He gives you the gifts that you need, the gifts of His Spirit, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, simply to stand. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.